With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, what's happening? Football Friday. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. Series XM 206 inside of our Quicken Loan studio, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently as we roll across the country. 3 hours every single day, 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific here on Tiki and Tierney. Get some of these calls again, 855-212-4227. Belichick, who was effusive in his praise of Patrick Mahomes this week, right?
Yeah.
I know you caught that.
I did.
They were trying to goad him into expounding on just how big the stage is Sunday night with Kansas City. And Belichick was not exactly having it.
Coach, you feel like you're playing for the top seed in the AFC with this game, that the stakes are that big?
I feel like we're playing Kansas City.
Does it seem like a higher stakes game than normal?
Feels like playing Kansas City.
What a rookie question. Just the way it's posed. Belichick's like, please, I can toy with
this
guy.
There's nothing interesting for me to comment on here. You have no clue, young man.
No, I am the Jedi, and you have not yet gone to the Dagobah system. What about this, though? I haven't heard this. Let's hear from Mahomes, and we'll get some more of these calls. Mahomes, I'm curious how he sounds. You know, we always like to play certain cuts, especially when we haven't heard them, and react to them in real time, get a sense of, you know, what's kind of contrived and what's real. I don't think that Mahomes is contrived on any level. I think he's completely, you know, all youthful exuberance, which is awesome, and I hope he never changes. But here's Mahomes about the possibility of being intimidated by the Pats.
One of the greatest quarterbacks, if not the greatest quarterback to ever play. And so for us, we're going to just go in. And like you said, I'm going against their defense, but as a team, we're going to go in and just try to compete. And, they're a good team in the AFC every single year. And so just get to compete against one of the best teams in the league is going to be an awesome opportunity.
You know, I don't know that anybody really looks at it this way, but there's going to be a point. It could be 20, 30, 40 years from now. We're going to say Brady played against Mahomes?
I know. It's not going to feel like it. Yeah, you're
Mahomes
right.
Mahomes played against Brady?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think this
that's right. He caught him at the tail end Sunday
right.
night game.
You're going to, because Mahomes, it seems like he's going to be around and be really good for a long time.
And Tom's 41.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
He doesn't get injured or anything like that. But Pat Mahomes is a special player.
Yeah.
He really is.
No question. Do you believe in messages? Where do you stand on this? You know, obviously Kansas City hasn't lost yet, but about planting a seed in case we meet up with you in January.
Yeah.
How's that work
on
the pro level?
I think
you
it's
buy
a,
that?
Yeah, I do. It happened, with the Giants when they beat the, at the time, previously undefeated New England Patriots. They didn't beat them in the regular season, but they played them tight in that
right
last
there.
Regular season game. And we all remember what happened in that 2007 season. And I remember I had an event earlier this week with Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs, and they talked about, you know, we knew after we played them at the end of the season that if we had to face them again, we could beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It just becomes like a mindset. Even if it's not based on anything real, like nothing that on
well,
paper.
Well, the realness is the competitive tone of the game.
Well, that's it. And you get to
actually,
you get to see the guy.
Yeah.
You know, you get to, I mean, you're literally lining up across a player, you know, whether you find out whether he's a dog or not, whether you can actually beat him or not. And if you don't, then, can I find a way to? Like, there's a familiarity that comes from competing against a team like the New England Patriots and having success against them that is hugely beneficial down the line. So this game is more important to Kansas City than it is to New England. Obviously, schedule-wise, you'd look and record-wise, you'd say, yeah, but New England's, you know, they're 3-2 right now. You know, whereas the Kansas City Chiefs are 5-0. This has got to be more important to New England. You know, New England's going to get back to where they are.
Yeah, they're going to win the division.
Division is
no
where
question.
It is.
It's theirs.
Kansas City is a youngish team trying to build to that plateau that the New England Patriots have been sitting on for a long time.
Yeah, I feel you. And I can't quantify this, but I feel like, you know, sometimes when we point to youth, we point to it as, you know, a little bit of a deterrent.
Yeah.
I feel like Kansas City's youth is invigorating.
It's an asset.
Yes.
No doubt.
Right? Doesn't it feel that way?
It really does. Yeah. They don't care. They're not intimidated by
not one bit.
Being younger. Actually, they probably look at it as an advantage.
Yeah, playing these old men.
Exactly.
I know. I hear you. Let's get Aaron, who's out in Reading, Pennsylvania. Get back to the phones. Aaron's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What up, Aaron? How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are all right,
good.
Man.
All right. So, Carolina Panther fan here. Welcome to the nightmare of the last 4 years. The problem with the New York Giants is not Pat Shurmur.
Oh, it's going to Gettleman.
And it is not Odell Beckham. Mm. It is Mike Shula, their offensive coordinator.
Interesting.
You can say what you want in the newspaper. You can say what you want in the press conference about Shurmur running the offense.
You're right.
This is the three-down predictability issue of Mike Shula running an offense.
Aaron, you know, it's funny. I mentioned this to BT last week, I believe, and it was the Passover thing. Like, is there, Pat Shurmur's system is very different than Mike Shula's. You remember saying that?
Yeah, dude.
And it's becoming like a hybrid offense.
I think it was Monday you said it.
Yeah, it was coming
this week.
It was earlier this week. It's a hybrid offense that's coming together that's not clicking. Right. It's interesting you point that out, Aaron, because nobody will talk about that. But there is you can see it. Right. You can feel it. Pat Shurmur in Minnesota used his assets exceptionally well.
Did he have better assets? He didn't have anybody that's quite Odell, but he had more in totality.
He did.
Don't you think? Rudolph's reliable. Diggs is a stud. Thielen's a stud. I mean,
but you have Saquon relative to Saquon relative to Dalvin Cook,
yeah.
who got hurt anyway. Then you had Jared McKinnon,
yeah.
who was good.
And Murray,
actually.
Right?
Yeah, Latavius Murray, but he was less important in the pass game. He wasn't catching 10 balls and going for 100 yards like Saquon did last night.
No, nobody is really.
I mean, it's comparable. I think Minnesota might have been slightly better.
Their O-line was significantly better. It was
but that's
times
why.
100.
That's why. Because we had this conversation last year. Like, how the heck is Minnesota so good right now?
Five new guys. Yeah.
Five great guys, at least that meshed well together immediately. So as a team, they played fantastic. And Kirk Cousins right now is reaping the benefit of that, as we see week in and week out. I mean, that's an interesting observation, Aaron, obviously, with Mike Shula. Because nobody's talking about it.
Because nobody really cares about the OC. That's actually not true at all. I mean, when you're Uber piped into your team, the OC is either a source of your consternation or great praise in local markets. But on the national scene, it's more about, you know, the head coach, the quarterback, the cherry picking stuff.
That's a good dynamic to keep an ear out for.
Keep an eye out for. But here's the onus now is on Shurmur. I mean, your team. And if you don't like what Shula's doing, you know, tweak it or get rid of him.
Who was my favorite offensive coordinator?
Sean Payton.
He got stripped of his job by Jim Fossil. So it happened. Even the best ones get it happens.
Yeah.
We were underperforming.
Yep.
We were just playing, and it wasn't that Sean was doing anything necessarily, you know, poorly or wrong. We were just underperforming. He made the call. It made a difference.
But is it a symbolic move or is there an
overhaul
in actually what you call?
In that case, back in 2000, whatever it was, 2003, whatever, it was. But in this case, I think it's just this isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We gotta change. We got to do something. We assume Pat Shurmur's calling the calls. He's not.
Let me ask you this. I didn't even think I would ask you this question because I know your answer, but I'll throw it by you. In the last day or so, there's been a little traction. I think Max said it on First Take, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Kaepernick to the Giants.
Yes.
Would you kick the tires?
I don't see it happening, but only because of John Mara's comments from a couple years ago that the fan base would have a significant problem with it. I didn't agree with John's stance then, but I do think it sits with the organization. And again, I don't even know what Kaepernick, what
nobody
kind of shape
knows where
he's
at
in.
Now. Nobody knows where he's
what's
at.
It, what's his mindset?
Physically.
You know,
I don't know. I know he's got a prestigious award from Harvard. See that?
He's on a different level. Not as a football player.
No.
I almost don't even care about him as a football player.
I just care because he's getting
I heard it too, but I honestly, I don't care about him as a football player right now.
Yeah, no,
care about what he's going to do to help change the world.
Uh-huh. Period. Freddie's in Utah, and Fred is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Fred,
the resident Giants fan out in Utah. What's happening?
What's up, fellas? Hey, he puts you on the defense right from the start, so nobody got a chance to say it. So let him be the first to say.
Go ahead.
It's Friday, fool.
Yeah, that's right. It's Friday, fool. I appreciate you, Fred.
Wait, what do you mean I put him in defense? I just said the truth. Hey. I put him in defense. Like, I'm making stuff up.
Hey, I have to agree with you, BT. I've been in denial for years.
Welcome to reality.
I have to agree and say you were right. You know, it's time for Eli to go. It's sad because he's given me just memories. You know, I remember, you know, the first Super Bowl with my 2-year-old son.
Yeah.
I'm going crazy. My son is too. He don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know? But he knows his dad's happy. And and then the second time. So if you and Colton never get a chance to experience that, you'll know.
I got to tell you, man. Freddie, as you're laying that out, let's make all the points for sure. As you're laying that out, because Colton's 3, and I'm sitting there saying, wow, okay. So, again, when you humanize the moments, it becomes a little less critiquing and more.
But let's face it, that's the emotional hangup with Giants fans. It is. It makes you deny reality. You know what I mean?
I know. He is outside of this. Is going to sound like a ridiculous contradiction. Outside of the 2 championships, he really hasn't performed like a number one overall pick.
No.
He's 11-19 against the Eagles in his career. He's led the league in picks 3 times, never led the league in touchdowns, never led the league in yards. He's about 9 or 10 games away from being a 500 career record.
That's crazy.
It's a lot of down points to Eli's resume. But go ahead, Freddie. I don't want to start bagging on Eli. This is not the day to
do it. I don't think I have to disagree with you thinking, you know, saying the Giants are not the Giants, all that kind of stuff, because it's not as bad as it seems when you have some of the pieces they have. You know, it could take, you know, if Jameis gets kicked out of Tampa, you throw Jameis in there with those weapons, and you never know. So it's not as bad, and I'm okay.
Well, Freddie, what does Jameis want in Tampa?
What's that?
What does Jameis want in Tampa? He's got Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson. What's he want?
Well, he's still talented, and if you get kicked out from your team, you know that makes you probably refocus. This whole suspension should make him refocus.
Yeah.
Hey, before you cut me off, I gotta say thanks, Tiki. Almost 3 months free of heartburn. So
there you go.
What'd you give him?
Prilosec.
Better boy, Freddie.
Thank you, Freddie.
Driving around those UPS trucks safe and without any burn. No chalky tablets, right, Tiki?
But Fred's like me too. He's gonna miss out on the UPS Hall of Fame.
He did get to a little fender bender.
He got a fender bender. What was it? No accidents over.
I think it was 20 years.
No accidents. UPS, 20 years.
UPS has a Hall of Fame.
It's awesome.
That is pretty cool, but Freddie's not in it. So.
Freddie's
the Eli Manning of UPS drivers. His accomplishment is, you know, he's been driving a winning truck for many years, you know, for 2 years. But the other years, he got a few fender benders. Just kidding, Freddie. By the way, you got a lot of love on the broadcast last night.
Yeah.
The visual, like the intro.
See, I missed this all.
I love how Fox does it. They do it really cool. Like, they got the tablet, and they've got, like, the current players kind of thumbing through video.
Gotcha.
Or, you know, flipping.
Yeah.
Of the of other players. Here's from last night. That's Saquon talking about you. It was really awesome, actually.
He idolizes me and Barry Sanders. He's from the Bronx, but he grew up in Pennsylvania.
His dad's a Jets fan, by the way. We know that.
His dad is a Jets fan, former boxer, by the way. His uncle was a heavyweight. I don't know if he was a champion. I think he fought for a championship.
Not Iran Barkley.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's his uncle.
Yeah, Barkley was good.
Yeah, so his family is...
I think he was an Olympian, too.
Maybe.
Double check that, DC.
I think you might be right.
Iran Barkley.
Saquon's a great kid.
He's a great kid.
I've got a chance to talk to him a couple times. He's going to be awesome here.
Yes, Joe Bane is going to be going 5-11 in the next four or five years in a row.
But BT, I went through that. You remember this because you were here. I went through that. Some bad seasons. And I would get these conversations from fans like, you're the only reason I want to watch the games. Right?
Yeah.
That
make you feel good at least.
Oh, it did. But you're still looking at your team like, dude, we suck that bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be that kind of season, I think, for Saquon. But he's exciting as hell. People will go just to see him play.
No question.
Like people went to go see Barry Sanders play when you knew the Lions were garbage.
It's a matter of time before he's on the cover of Madden. I know that that's not the ultimate barometer, but it actually kind of is.
No, it definitely is.
He's going to be on the cover of Madden.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't overuse him this year.
Agreed.
The temptation to save face.
100%. It's like a good thing. Use them?
Not a good thing.
It's
if
a bad thing if you give him 380 touches. And
for what?
We know what that does to running backs.
Yeah. Especially if you're, I mean, what are they going to go? They could go 3-13 again. I mean, I don't know what they are. I mean, I don't even know if they might not get to 3. I mean, I guess they could conceivably get to 4 or 5, I guess. But right now, I don't know. I mean, they're 1-5. Giants feel like a 2-14 team.
It's rough.
It's the way it feels.
It's going to be rough.
Ain't good. All right, this was incredible. Let's get to this coming up next here. And it was just kind of an innocuous throwaway line, I think, from Cam. But boy, oh boy, when you peel back the curtain, it makes you reconsider just how in touch and in tune Cam is with the quarterback position. This was alarming. I know it caught your attention as well. We'll get to it. Coming up, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS's Super Bowl season continues with a fantastic doubleheader. First up in a tense AFC North battle, Pittsburgh takes on the Bengals. That's in Cincinnati. Nasty Natty. Then the NFL's top defense, the Jaguars, head off to Dallas to take on the Cowboys, who are, in essence, inept on offense. I mean, people trying to mount a defense for the Cowboys to win this game, I mean, anything's possible. Especially since it's on CBS, obviously. You have to watch every second. Anything's possible. But how does the Jaguars' defense not suffocate that impotent offense?
They definitely will. The only issue is that it's in Dallas.
True.
It's the only issue. Is Romo on that game?
I don't have the... I don't know. Is that the top game or is that... I don't know. I don't know if Tony and Jim are in with Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, or if they're in Dallas and Jackson. We'll get the answer. D-Cell's going to get that for you. Anyway, the day begins with the NFL Today, powered by Ram Trucks at 12 Eastern on CBS. JB Coach, Boomer, Phil, Nate Dogg in the house. The whole crew getting you set up week 6, which is already underway. All right, so Greg Olsen, terrific receiving tight end. Mm-hmm. He's been around a while now. He's not a kid.
Nope.
And he's going to be a broadcaster at some point.
Romo is doing that game, by the way.
Oh, Romo's in Dallas. That's right. Yeah, we did. Yeah, Romo is in Dallas. Okay. That'll be cool. Hey, Tony. Mic him up and let him play.
And keep it real. Oh, come on.
Can you imagine? Could you imagine if they mic'd him up? Like if Sean McManus signed off on it.
That'd be
and
awesome.
And Jerry Jones signed off on it. And Tony Romo was mic'd up.
It is an entertainment
playing
business.
Playing quarterback.
It is an entertainment business.
Call them the game.
That'd be awesome. Oh, never happened, but it'd be awesome.
I hear you. So Olsen's back, we believe. Now, he got hurt, re-injured his foot in the first game of the season. He's missed time since. And he's expected to play this weekend. The Panthers are playing the Washington Redskins, which is an interesting game. We'll see what happens there. But Cam was asked about this, and he begins to use an analogy with a defensive player, which makes sense. But then he goes in a direction that absolutely caught my attention, and I know it caught yours. Listen to this.
You know, just as much as TD means to the defense, you know, he's a very, you know, intellectual person that helps me. I don't know what play calling. You know, I call him the dictator in the huddle because I really have problems with calling plays, you know, even in year 8. And he kind of helps me. And, you know, his just playmaking ability on the field is just second to none. So
wait a second. Is this a spoof? Like, is this a spoof segment?
D-Cell played that. We're sitting out in the newsroom, and he played that. I was like, all right, maybe he's – you know, sometimes Cam gets, like, his words – like he's thinking something and wants to say something.
Well, it happens to all of us.
And it just comes out wrong. Like he says the wrong thing. And it's just like, what? Hey, you just scratch your head.
You mean like that?
And so as I first heard that, I'm like, he's got to be meaning to say something else. More like, you know, when I make play calls, I'm looking for Greg Olsen. But the more you listen to
it. We have great chemistry. He knows the route before I call it.
Exactly.
So he gives me a little affirmative nod. Yes, you called the right play. No.
D-Cell re-listened to it like 5 times. He's like, no, he's saying that I don't know what calls to make. Now, in some ways, I understand this. Because like context.
Uh-huh.
When Eli was young. Like we used to do a lot of with Sean Payton as our coordinator and Mike Pope, who was a great tight end coach, one of the greatest in history of football, to be honest with you, because he was back with the Redskins when they were in their heyday and then with us when they went down to Dallas, their run game resurrected itself.
As respected as any tight end coach, maybe in the history of the league.
A lot of misdirection, a lot of, you know, get to the line of scrimmage, it's check with me. Mm-hmm. You know, we got sprint 37s, check sprint 36. And Eli would walk up there sometimes I could tell he was confused. I'm behind him, but I could tell he's confused. He's like, look, and I'm like, 36, 36, 36, 36. I'm helping him because I've seen it, you know, more than he has. I've been around. It was an experience. But Eli was a rookie.
Yeah, he's a rookie.
I mean, Cam Newton's 8 years in and won a league MVP.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean you don't know? You confuse what plays to call the line of scrimmage.
Do you have play this again? I got to make sure that I heard what I think. Play this again.
I really have problems with calling plays, you know, even in year 8, and he kind of helps me.
Hmm. Now, you could be talking about, like, formations. You know, you get the formation, you know, with the line call.
That would make it better.
The protection slide. No, I'm talking about the vernacular, like saying the words. Like
you can't enunciate certain words, so Greg Olson in the huddle says it for him?
Like, so it comes in your head. So I'm just going to read our script here for the 4 o'clock. Quick and Loan Studio, Chiefs-Patriots Sunday night. This is a game Andy Reid would lose in the past. Does Patrick Mahomes change that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, I'm talking to you. You're my quarterback. I'm like, assume this is a play. Quick and Loan Studio, Chiefs Patriots Sunday night. This is a game Andy Reid would lose. Patrick Mahomes might change that.
On two, ready.
Yeah, and now you have to call it,
okay.
Right? I told you. You now have to tell the rest of the team. So maybe he's saying that.
That's still bad.
I mean,
there's
it's
no
bad.
Justification
but
there.
But it's just because that's what happens, right? The offensive coordinator sends a play into the huddle,
into
his head.
Yeah.
You get 15 seconds, or 15 seconds before the
15 seconds
before the clock ends, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think it's 15.
And then you hear it as a quarterback, and then you now have to disseminate it to the offensive line,
100%,
and the running backs, and the wide receivers, and the tight end. Like calling that play sometimes gets hard, right? Especially
what's
if
your job.
I know it's your job, but this is a new offense with North Turner. And so maybe that's what he's saying. Maybe he's saying that I'm having trouble.
It didn't sound like this is the first time in my career.
Bro, I'm scratching my head just like you.
I'm having trouble doing this because of North Turner. That is... Did anybody ask him a follow-up question?
I wish. You know, the interviewer, whoever asked the question, was probably like, huh?
Okay.
Okay, that sounds cool. What? What just
you know
happened?
What that is?
You go back to the newsroom or wherever you're writing your story, or you're cutting a piece, because if it was audio, video, you're cutting a piece, and you say, wait, did I just miss that in real time when it happened? Because I wasn't listening?
Yes.
Because there had to have been a follow-up. Like, how the heck do you hear that and say, Cam, you won the MVP. You took your team to the Super Bowl. What do you mean you have trouble calling the play?
You don't even have to preface it with all the platitudes. All you have to say is, Cam, I just want to make sure I heard you right. Did you say that you have a rough time calling the plays in the huddle? You don't have to gas him
up. It's almost
MVP,
funny,
you
man.
Made the Super Bowl.
It's almost funny.
I mean, but I'll tell you what's not funny is if you're a Carolina Panther fan right now and you're hearing that. And let's face it, you know, there's a reason why Cam hovers 54% completion percentage, 50. I know this year is a little bit, it's a lot better.
Yeah, 58%, significantly better with North.
But he's sub 60% coming into the season.
Right.
Now, this year he's doing pretty well with that. And I think they're a semi-dangerous team, especially if Olsen's back and Olsen's right.
But we also, you said we talked about this in the break. You, like me, can't quite figure them. They're 3-1
can't
on the
totally
season.
Can't totally figure them out yet, because they very well should have lost to the Giants.
Absolutely.
I mean, a 63-yard boot by Gano doesn't have those two extra yards, that doinks, and the Giants win.
Yep, and then they're sitting at 2-2, and you're questioning whether or not they're a viable team again.
Yeah.
After they made the postseason last year. I mean, their losses this year, they lost the Steelers. I mean, you get that. Steelers, when they...
For whatever reason, I don't remember the flow of that game. Week one, they played Dallas.
It was 39-24. Steelers just got up and
ran away with it.
They lost by a touchdown to the Falcons.
Yep.
That was in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, they've had some big wins. Beat the Bills. Not the Bills. It was a big win. But they beat the Bills. They beat the Dolphins when the Dolphins were playing well. The Patriots, they beat, 25-14 in the third week of the season. That was before the Pats kind of really found themselves. And then they beat the Cowboys.
Week one.
So it's one of those things where it feels like this team is getting right, but you don't really know whether or not it's right.
Well, here's the thing. Even if people aren't necessarily motivated to put a whole lot of steam behind Carolina right now, like if they're still in the evaluation stage, and that's where you and I reside, and that's why you preface it that way. Although I tend to lean more favorably than negatively.
I agree.
Personally. But even if you're not, you know, buying the Panthers, you have to buy the fact that at this stage, you know, they're one of a handful of teams that just in terms of the logistics of the traffic of the conference, they're in pretty good stead.
Oh, no, of course they are.
They're 3-1.
They're 3-1. They have a chance to win. Now, I don't know how this Redskins are an interesting team, because we thought they would be better, play better against the Saints. They came off the bye week, were flat. On the road, it was an emotional game for Drew Brees and the Saints fans and the crazies down there. I mean, it was a hard game. You could tell that they weren't fully into it.
Mm-hmm.
Do they rebound? That's the question, and play more like they did the first 3 weeks of the season.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been, I wouldn't say fan, a lukewarm supporter of the Redskins, even during the summer. I thought they were better than people thought. But you're right. This is the circle game where you just got embarrassed on Monday night. You're back home. Let's see what you got.
Yeah.
And if they lay an egg, then I'm going to have to back off that, you know, not the Redskins Express, but at least, you know, I believe that they can, you know, at least give the Eagles something to think about, or at least I did. I'm not so sure that I had that conviction now. If they play well against Carolina, that will reinforce what I thought I knew about them. And if they don't, I'll probably be forced to change my tune.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that in the NFL. A lot of times, things aren't what they seem. I get it. All right, T, coming up, Inbounds, Out of Bounds. Looking forward to this. D-Cell, good slate today. What do you got? What are the topics on Inbounds, Out of Bounds?
Great slate today. Very diverse menu.
By the way, that's 2 days in a row. Great. He goes right for it. Great.
Confidence, man. It's confidence.
Attaboy, D-Cell.
What do
you got?
I would agree with him, too, by the way.
Got a little UFC, a little NBA, a little MLB, college football, and we finish off with some NFL.
Yeah, he made me think about this UVA.
Yeah, I was doing research on some of the answers.
I know, I'm going down to UVA. So we got UVA. But he made me think about that NBA answer. And I'm
that's the one that I asked you. I had to go back to the standings.
I'm like, hold on one second.
And I'm like subtracting. It's actually a great question.
It is a great question.
So we'll get to that coming up after Smackerman's update. Big Rich, how are you today, Rich?
I'm doing all right.
Who was on the show today? I on college football.
We have Cincinnati head coach Luke Fickell.
Yeah,
the Bearcats went from 4-8 to 6-0 so far.
Are they 6-0?
They're 6-0.
Oh wow! Here I am saying, whatever. 6-0, good story.
Knocking it.
All
and,
right, 6-0.
And we expect to have Mike McIntyre, the head coach at Colorado.
I like it.
The
Colorado.
Buffaloes at 5-0, taking on USC tomorrow night.
Wasn't he in the running for the coach of the year a couple years?
Two years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they had a very bad season last year. Took a step back, and they have really exploded this year so far. Their competition hasn't been that tough so far, so now it's really starting to step up in class. But they have LaVisca Chenault, who's a Heisman Trophy contender,
really?
I would say.
He's a contender. You mean outside of the top five or inside the top five?
I would say inside the top
five. Inside the top five?
Now he's maybe four or fifth.
Now I got to watch the guy.
But still, he is fantastic.
I didn't think he was top five. I know he's good. I didn't think he was top five.
I would put him in there. I would definitely put him in. I think, you know, he's fourth or fifth again, but, you know, not in front of Haskins, Murray, or Tua, but he's certainly in the conversation.
All right, so listen, as you're cruising around tomorrow, just keep it here. CBS Sports Radio Axe got you, running the errands, you know, taking the kids to practice, whatever you're doing, some a backyard work. I always give it the proper props because you do work hard on this, and it is a really good show. Connects all the dots on Saturday. It's
That's what we aim for.
It's good. It's strong. So basically for gamblers who want to know the score. All right, here's the Axe update. Rich. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Steaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. A nice job on the phone today. We banged it a few early, 1-855-212-4227. Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, if you want to get us on something. Next hour, we'll make our picks against the spread. And let's see. All right. Not our best work a week ago. Teak was 2-4. I was 3-3. But I believe we have some winners this week, so we'll get you in there. Also, we'll do week 6 NFL whip around and squeeze a little college football at the top of the hour. He's cooking there.
Yeah, there's lots of interesting stats in the National Football League. I'm just going through this weekly update that I get every week.
Yeah, you were going all nerd during the break.
This
you asked me about the merger
man.
And like bits.
So think about we talk about offense being easy, and it's all in the pass game. 71% of the total yards in the National Football League have come through the pass through 5 weeks of the season.
What was it? Give me a comparison to a different decade.
I don't have the comparison, but it's usually close to like 62 or 65%. It's 71% of total yards this year in the NFL, it's all teams, is through the pass. And some teams, like the Vikings, 83% of their total yards is through the air. Now, here's the more is this maybe the most interesting stat I've ever heard. This is a trivia question at some point. Through 5 weeks of the season, we've had five overtime games.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time in NFL history there's been five overtime games.
Browns
the first
have had a few. Falcons, Saints.
The Browns have had three.
Yeah.
The Browns did something. This is you won't know the answer to this, but the Browns did something for the first time since 1987 when the Packers. You remember this?
I do.
The Packers went overtime a lot that year, and they won. They're the second team in history to win, to lose, to win in overtime, to lose in overtime, and the tie in overtime.
There's nothing else you can do except if it gets postponed. There's no other, they don't replay the game.
There's no other outcome that you could have.
Or suspended.
And the Browns in 5 weeks have hit every possible one. That's crazy.
That is nuts. It's
a crazy NFL season, though.
Hey, diving into minutia, boy, Teague.
Minutia's fun sometimes.
Are you ready for it? Is. Are you ready for some inbounds, out of bounds?
I am. Let's go.
D-Cell put it together. Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Here we go, buddy. Conor McGregor, Khabib.
Nurmagomedov.
Nurmagomedov. have both been temporarily suspended.
Gesundheit, by the way.
By the Nevada Athletic Commission. Now, a hearing is going to take place later this month where it will be decided if they both will be suspended indefinitely for what went down UFC 229, of course, last weekend. Remember, Khabib climbed over the octagon. He went after a member of McGregor's team while McGregor threw a punch at a member of Khabib's team who charged at him. In or out, McGregor and Khabib both deserve to be suspended indefinitely.
Out of bounds. Khabib needs to be suspended indefinitely. There's one thing to fight a member of the opposing team's team when he comes into the ring after you. It's quite another to jump over and hit civilian or go after civilians, even though this guy wasn't necessarily a civilian. It was actually a Bellator fighter.
Yes,
as
Chael
Sonnen. As he told us, it was a Bellator guy, a jiu-jitsu member of McGregor's team. Conor protected himself. Khabib did something kind of reckless. So, out of bounds, it should just be Khabib.
Okay, I agree with you in the sense that I do believe that there's varying degrees of
wrongness.
Egregiousness. Yes. Like, I think, what Khabib did was egregious.
Yeah.
What Conor did is a different type of interpretation. Mm-hmm. Certainly too aggressive, but it's not so proactively going to seek out physical justice when patrons can get in the view and get in the way and get hurt. So I agree with you there that there is a difference between the two, but I'm going to disagree and I'm going to give my answer inbounds for this reason. I think this is a chance for Dana White to reestablish and reset some parameters for the sport. Start to color outside the lines here. And if they send it to their biggest superstar in McGregor in terms of money making and, you know, one of the greatest champions for sure, people take notice, and that will trickle downhill. And you might see more of a comportment of the way the fight game is supposed
respect.
To be. Respect. Not talking about religion and race and family. You can kind of push this aside by showing no tolerance. I don't know if he'll do it. I would. I say inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, the NBA season. By the way, did you see start? What? You probably didn't start yet because there's so much stuff going on. The basketball, what's it called?
Oh, love basketball. I saw part of, I was watching it and I realized I was like an hour, like 45 minutes in.
Yeah.
So I stopped because I want to see it from the beginning.
But they've got like 60 shorts.
I know.
Oh my God, I started watching. Yeah. Wow, there you go. Phenomenal. The NBA season kicks off Tuesday.
Wow, already.
Greatness. Oh yeah, hoops is awesome. 76ers, Celtics, and the Thunder match up with the Warriors. Now, all four of these teams were playoff teams a year ago and are thought to be so this year, and we'd all agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 16 playoff teams from last season, at least 13 will make the playoffs again.
Yeah, I'm going to
in or out.
I'm going to say inbounds. There were teams like Detroit, which I don't think they were just on the edge, just on the outside. They were ninth, but they're not better. So I'm going to say inbounds, BT, and the only two, I only see two not getting in. And one probably will.
Okay.
The Spurs could be worse.
Yep.
And fall out of the postseason, get replaced by the Lakers or somebody. And the Cleveland Cavaliers. But I'm unsure about Cleveland right now. So I'm holding them. So I only think there's one or two, maybe just one that won't make it from last year that made it. That will not make it this year. So I'm gonna say inbounds on this one.
It surprisingly took a lot of time to go through all these different machinations here. I mean, D-Cell.
I'm like, what team got better? What team got worse?
I mean, who did this? Who did they pick up
exactly.
Again?
It's Minnesota. Lose? Where are they at with the Jimmy Butler nonsense? What about Milwaukee?
Who's hurt? I mean, geez. I mean, we got to make picks against the spread. I'm juggling my script for Tops here. This guy's got stuff going on over the weekend. I mean, this is supposed to be kind of a free-flowing segment. It took me 13 minutes to research this stuff for one question. So here's my answer, and I'll truncate what I found during the research here. My takeaway is this. There's two teams that I believe are discernibly worse than they were a year ago. The Cavaliers and the Spurs.
Yep.
There's two teams that I believe will be discernibly better. Lakers. That's the Lakers and the Denver Nuggets.
Ooh, Denver. I didn't even
you forgot about
them.
Denver.
Yeah.
You always kind of forget
about
Denver.
I don't know why.
And I always got to bring them into the equation because Denver's pretty good. Sixth best offense a year ago in basketball. So I just look at all the other teams, like the Raptors. Yeah, they'll be good. Celtics, I mean, I'm not championship good, but playoff good. Celtics championship good. Sixers are legit. Pacers, you know I like them. Miami's very good, well coached.
Yep.
Bucks are solid. The Wizards made some interesting moves. So I don't think you're going to get a lot of volatility in the East, nor do I see a lot of volatility in the West. I think the answer is inbounds, probably two spots, but I don't see much more than that. I think we get a lot of repeats
here. Agreed.
Are you in or are you out?
Good, smart question there, D-Cell. Help connect the dots. By the way, it's actually depressing for the teams and the fans that weren't that good last year because you know the Hawks and the Knicks and the Nets, while they're starting to planting seeds, obviously, and the Kings and some of the other teams.
Hey, Trae Young will be fun to watch.
I'm going to give you a sleeper, the Suns. I'm going to give you the Suns as a sleeper.
Booker, Ayton.
Well, Ayton, I mean, the kid they took from Kansas. Why am I forgetting the defensive play? They took him fourth overall. What is his name? Whatever his name is. Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
They've got some players there. They've got the makings of a pretty interesting roster. Now, you might need an injury or a team like Portland to unexpectedly fall by the wayside, but I don't know if I'm really confident in the Suns, but they could make a big jump. Just to throw it on the table. Let you think about that. All right, did you hit the inbounds out of my head again? Just for old time's sake. Here we go.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Clayton Kershaw, he's going to continue. He's going to try to exercise his postseason demons tonight. He's actually going in game one, as we know. It didn't happen last series, but it worked out well with Ryu throwing a gem, and he was terrific in game two. So they're playing the Brewers. I picked the Brewers to win the series for the record. Kershaw tossed 8 scoreless innings in his only start against the Braves in the NLDS. And if it's a lengthy series, it's believed that Kershaw is going to make at least 2, possibly 3 starts. Although I think those days are over, like Oral Hershiser going game 1, 4, and 7, or Bob Gibson or Koufax. Those days are pretty much over. Or Randy Johnson or somebody. Yet Dodgers skipper Dave Roberts has announced his starters already for 2, 3, and 4. Pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
Ryu, Bueller, and Rich Hill, respectively. Dave Roberts announcing his starters already through game 4 is in or out.
I think this is inbounds, BT. Mainly because if something should happen, you can change it. And so it's not set necessarily in stone. So you give the Brewers something to think about, and as they try to line up their pitching staff, I'm going to say this is inbounds.
I totally agree. First of all, I mean, just in the very literal sense, if it's inbounds for Dave Roberts, then that should be inbounds for all of us. It's his team. And if he feels the license to do that's the smart tactical approach, then who the hell are we to say it's not, unless it doesn't work? Then we certainly will come back to that and maybe challenge or chastise his decisions, or at least take issue with him here. I creatures of habit. There's such a thing as being in rhythm and, you know, knowing what the next week has for you. Athlete, you lived your life this way. Knowing what is next, there's comfort in that.
No doubt.
I'm down with it. I like it. Inbounds. I agree.
Are you in or are you out?
College football, the Irish. Yeah, you know, I think that. No. Very different. I think the Irish logo, you know, I'm just turned off by the Irish logo. You cannot demean my people I cannot have that anymore. I don't like that. Depicting the Irish as just fighters and little out of these, whatever they look, I don't know what they are, but we have to get away with that mascot. That cannot be there anymore. I am offended by the leprechaun. Not at all. So the Irish are ranked number 5 in the country. They take on Pitt at home this weekend and try to stay undefeated, as we know. We know who they've beaten already. A couple of nice wins, Michigan, Stanford, Batek, etc. We also know that they're not part of a conference and no conference championship game to lean on. In or out, Notre Dame could go undefeated and miss the playoffs.
I'm going to say this is out of bounds. I know that this part of the X factor moment was your conference championship, but there's going to be some teams that lose up there. So I'm going to say out of bounds. I think they get there.
The answer is out of bounds. Tiki's got it. I mean, they played, you know, while other teams were beating up on these second tier, you know, FCS schools, whatever it is, to open up the year. They played Michigan. Michigan's pretty good. They've beaten Stanford. They've beaten VaTech at a tough venue.
That's
what I'm saying. And Blacksburg. If they run the table, the Irish play for championship. Now, I don't think they're good enough to win it when they get there, but then they would absolutely be hosed if they don't get a chance to play for it, I believe. And so does Steve.
All right.
There you go. Coming up next, more college football. Let's get into that. Just the mechanics.
Interesting weekend.
It is. Let's get to it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.